When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this is your election headquarters.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity, CIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICPA, and CIMA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness, and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Break Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. The NDC has tonight served notice that it will take a second look at the MPP-led development authorities if it is elected back into power. The Coastal Development Authority, the Middle Belt Development Authority, and the Northern Development Authority were created under the MPP government to decentralize development efforts and ensure that all regions of Ghana benefit from national growth. But the MPP and DC flag bearer, John Mahama, at a media encounter today, gave a damning verdict on the state institution, saying they have not served the purpose for which they were created.
They sit somewhere in their office, then they say, go and build a school in Zebilan. Instead of, if it was in the district chief executive will identify a local contractor in Zebilan to do it. And so the money stays in Zebilan. But the development authorities will take a contractor from, say, Bolga or from Tamale, and award him the contract to go and do in Zebilan. And so when he goes and does it, the profit does not stay in Zebilan. The profit goes elsewhere. And that is the effect the development authorities are having. So I'm saying that if you have money for the development authorities, give it to the districts. Share it to the district and increase the share of revenue they have so that they can invest in their own districts and be able to multiply the revenue in the district. I've been an MP before, and I remember when I was an MP, anytime the District Assembly's Common Fund is released, Bole Bamboi is buoyant. The slaughterhouse, they kill a cow, people are buying meat because they pay the contractors, the local contractors, and the local contractors to, you know, put money into the system. The hairdressers, the local contractor's wife will go and do her hair, the hairdresser to get some money. He goes and pays the filling station for the fuel he credited. The filling station attendant to get some money. He goes to the beer bar with his friends, the beer bar person to get money. He goes and pays the cement that he borrowed for the contract, cement person to get money. So it has a multiplier effect in the economy of the district. Unfortunately, that has dried up because there are some, the district assemblies for fund is not coming, and it is less than it used to be.
Well, my colleague Maxwell Ababa is embedded with the John Mahama campaign team and joins us live now on the line. Maxwell, also today, the flag bearer, he's been talking tough on the campaign trail, promising to go after persons he claims caused financial loss to the state in the Poligi Dam project. Has he been giving any evidence to back this?
Well, for a lot of the places that we visited, it was a common denominator for the message that he shared with the people, largely because a lot of the areas we visited in the Upper East region are crop-growing areas. The predominant job that we find there, the people there are mostly farmers, and usually during the dry season, they rely on the dams to irrigate their crops. So that came up strongly in all the constituencies, more than 10 constituencies that he visited in the Upper East region. Today, when he was addressing the press in that media encounter, that question also came up strongly, and that was where he made the point about holding the people responsible for what he says is financial loss to the state accountable. He said, we didn't start the NDC actually did not start the Pualugu dam on time because they were not able to procure dedicated funding for it, because for a project like that, when you start funding, you must continue till it's completed. And so when this new government came up, they took it up in 2019, they cut off for it. He said he thought it was going to be funded from the government of Ghana budget. And he knew that there was going to be a problem because to have almost $1 billion project funded from the GOG budget, when they can be sure that it will face the hazard that it will, because it was coming from the consolidated fund. So for him, he really expected some of these challenges, but he's saying that those responsible for causing financial loss to the state will be made to account for them.
The water will be restricted, and during the season when it is raining and it is expected that the Bagri Dam will be opened, a lot of the water would be let go so that it lowers the water level, so that when the water from Bagri comes, it will not flood as extensively as it used to do. The second objective of Pualugu was to irrigate a huge expanse of land, I think about 10,000 hectares of land for agricultural purposes. And then the third, which is a byproduct of the dam, was to produce about 30 to 50 megawatts of power. And so it's a very important project. And I think that we didn't start it because we were not able to yet procure dedicated funding for it. Because for a project like that, when you start funding it, it must continue to its completion. And so when this new government came, they took it up. And in 2019, they cut short for it. But I noticed something. They said it was going to be funded from government of Ghana budget. And I knew that that was going to be a problem, because to have an almost $1 billion project funded from government of Ghana budget, then you can be sure that it will face the hazards that every other project that depends on the consolidated fund faces. And that is exactly what happened. Of course, it made a lot of political capital for the president's party in cutting short for that project. But, I mean, one knew that it was going to face very difficult challenges. Unfortunately, we have rather lost money, because almost $12 million was paid for no work done. You go to the site, there's absolutely nothing there. And so somebody has caused financial loss to the state and must be held to account to come and answer what happened. But it's a project that is desirable. We intend to continue. We're not going to abandon it, but we're going to look for a source of dedicated funding for it so that we can push it from start to finish without the kind of hazards that projects like this face when they depend on the consolidated fund.
Let's get some answers. I want to bring in David Price, a former government and public relations manager at the Volta River Authority, responsible for the Pologu multipurpose dam. And that dam was under the VRA, and so that's why we are talking to him. Joyce Bauer Mukhtari is a spokesperson for John Mahama, also joins us on the line right now. David Price, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. On the subject of the Pologu multipurpose dam, is there an acceptance at VRA and among yourselves that there has been financial loss, considering that at least the BOG confirms that we've paid $11.9 million when there isn't any work on site to verify?
First of all, let me send my sincere appreciation to your cherished listeners and your producers for calling me to respond or react to what the former president and the perennial flag bearer of NDC has put out there. First and foremost, let me ask, has Mr. Mahama visited the dam site or the camp site? He has not. So what he's doing is just conjecturing or hearsay or what somebody has told him.
I mean, what difference does what a visit make when we have been there ourselves recently? The parliamentary committee responsible for trade-off were also there, and they all saw that there's pretty much nothing on site to talk about at least justifying $11.9 million expenditure.
That is absolutely wrong and then false. Let me first of all indicate that when we talk about the Pologu multipurpose dam project, you are talking about three major projects in one. The first one, which we all know, is the hydropower dam project, which is about 60 megawatts. And then we talk about the hybrid of solar, which is 50 megawatts. And then 25,000 hectares of irrigable land as part of the project. And so, consisting of the primary and secondary tertiary wells. My brother, you are talking about a dam of this magnitude. And you are expecting that as you went there, or probably prior to the major concrete works, nothing should be done. Quite a number of activities have gone on, and you cannot do all those activities without expending money.
So the 11.9, let's get specific. Let's get specific. The $11.9 million that was disbursed, what was it used for?
That's exactly what I'm coming. So, kindly advise you, and let me, because your cherished listeners are very, very discerning. We are talking about three major projects in one. And I said that before you even begin concrete work, there's the need for you to even do what you call land acquisition. Then after land acquisition, please, before then, let me quickly say that two major ministries were responsible for this project. We had the Ministry of Energy that was anchored by the Volta River Authority, and then we had the Ministry of Agric with the irrigation component. So that's clear. Now, when you talk about those of us who were anchoring the Ministry of Energy's one, you are talking about we ensuring that, first of all, we have even acquired the land. We carried out aggressive stakeholder engagement. All the six major communities that we operated in, the Sariba and then its enclave. Apart from that, you are talking about execution of environmental and social impact assessment, which is so comprehensive. We are talking about topographical survey and mapping and physical pillaring. When you go to the dam area, over 500 square kilometers, we have pillared the entire area. And then we also carried out geological and then geotechnical studies, and then comprehensive drawings in all this. Then we did the design report and then the drawings. We also did resettlement action plan. We looked at the cadastral survey. And so there were quite a number of activities that have gone on. The contractors, the Power China, has built their campsite. So if you are part of those who went to both the invasion and then the hydro, you saw the campsite there.
So that is what cost us $11.9 million.
Quite a number of activities. Very extensive. So you are talking about a dam of $1 billion. Project of $1 billion. And so 11.9 million. And then somebody says that causing financial loss. Who has caused financial loss?
Stay with me, David Pra. I want to bring in Joyce Baumutari, who's on the line. Joyce, so that's your explanation there from the former government and spokesperson responsible for the VRA's operations around the Palugu Dam. This, in essence, was spent on the activities you just mentioned there. In fact, the authority that John Mahama criticized had, in an earlier statement, said it was used for mobilization.
For the New Patriotic Party. What exactly is this rule? And I hope that you guys are not going to try and say that the
government David, please hold on for me. Let me hear Joyce.
And look at the way he's non-characteristic of any public servant. You see, this is exactly what is wrong with our country. Did he refer to the former president as a perennial swag bearer of the ADC? Disappointing, disgraceful, and utterly shameful. And I think you ought to condemn such persons who come on your show parading as public servants when they are not. Let me state without any fear of equivocation that if the money were his, would he expend $11.9 million with nothing to show? When the Public Accounts Committee spoke about this matter, you and I were not there. He was then in office. Why didn't he appear before the Public Accounts Committee to say all the things that he's saying? When the Parliamentary Oversight Committee visited the site of Palugu, where was he? You know, seriously, I think that all of us in the media should help to stop such persons from parading themselves as public servants. No public servant speaks like this. Utterly disrespectful and shameful. And regardless of what excuses he has, this is the sort of attitude we ought to condemn without any fear of contradiction. I'm sure this is why we have a challenge in Ghana, where many of our institutions are no longer working. They've all been filled by political apparatchiks, feeding fat on our money, stealing our money and disrespecting everybody who dares to criticize them. Can you imagine for a second that Mr. Mahama was president and that he had come up with this matter before the Public Accounts Committee, as we've all heard? All hell would have broken loose, and seeing people would have been going up and down and speaking to the high heavens. You see, there is so much corruption in this city. There's a lot of heavy-handedness, and you can tell from his tone, from the whole attitude of his, angry and shouting and screaming, the money is taxpayers' money. And Mr. Mahama, like every other well-meaning citizen and all fair-minded Ghanaians, indeed, you've heard the Afrobarometer report today that Mr. Akufo-Addo himself as president has become very heavy-handed in destroying all our public confidence, in destroying our democracy, and of course, has destroyed all our institutions in the process.
Yeah, but Joyce, on the specific subject of the Palugu Dam, though, he mentioned specific things that $11.9 million was used for. In fact, if you pull up the authority that it was responsible for its construction, they detail it and say, one, it was used for environmental and social impact assessment, topographic survey and mapping, geology and technical studies and drawings, soil and land suitability assessment, and
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The other activities that had to be done prior to the construction.
I'm asking you a question. Has he made these documents available to the Parliamentary Oversight Committee? Has he made these documents public? We all heard about Smith and how they spent $491,000 in a transaction advisor, only for the advisor to come and tell them that the cost of that project was not feasible. Is that not a waste of public resources? Is that a good use for our public resources? Is that a good way to expend our money? Look, we are suffering so much. I've just come from the Upper East region. The persons in that region who need this dam are terribly suffering. There's so much poverty. They are actually now multidimensionally even poorer than they were 8 years ago. These are the realities on the hand. Not public servants who are feeding fat on our resources, coming to a radio station like yours and screaming to the high heavens. Did he contest for the role that he's occupying? Did he seek for a contestation? Did he beat someone in a race to the seat in which he occupies today to speak to us like that? Please, this is exactly what is wrong with our society. And I am praying that Ghanaians will see reason to vote out this very arrogant administration, this disrespectful administration that spends all our money and comes to talk down at all of us. You should ask him whether that role that he's occupying as a member of parliament, did he contest for the role? Was he interviewed and vetted?
Yeah, I mean, but
what
but
is his locus for speaking about Mr. Mahama in the disparaging tone in which he did?
But to the substance,
that should be condemned.
To the substance of what he said,
I
though.
I have told you that if the $11.9 million were his money, would he talk about it the way he's talking about it? And it's not just the $11.9 million. It is everything else. So are you telling me that all of you from multimedia, all the parliamentary members who went there, didn't know about all these things he's speaking about, cadastral map, acquisition of land and all? My brother, the chiefs would normally grant these lands to government for public use. They are usually acquired compulsorily for public purpose. The land in question was acquired as far back as I don't know when. You can check from the annals of our legislation. This is not a fresh land. This is not a new conversation. The subject of Balogun has been with us for a very long time.
Yeah,
indeed,
but
Mr.
John,
Mahama,
but John,
has told
John
us
Mahama,
why.
John Mahama makes a categorical point about financial laws. Is there a basis for that, considering that you are asking for facts that you haven't seen, which the authority has already put out in a statement that was issued some time back when this became controversial?
I have told you that the Public Accounts Committee had seen all these documents. They have condemned the expenditure of this amount as paid payment to as advanced mobilization and with nothing to show. Are you telling me that all the things he speaks about will cost us $12 million? Is that what you're telling me? That if he had $12 million of his personal money, is that how he will use it? And who benefits from the $12 million if all of it has been expended on processes with nothing to show? $12 million is more than a percentage, 10% of $1 billion. You and I know that. So what is he talking about? You see, my brother, let's vet these things. So if Mr. Mahama speaks in the Upper East region about Balogun Dam and the fact that for indeed, in 2016, this was a huge political conversation, if you remember. The opponents at the time, the MPP, led by then-candidate Akufo-Addo and Bawumia, made big news out of it. They were in your studios talking about the fact that this was the biggest single investment to be made in the northern parts of Ghana. Are you not disappointed to hear anybody from VRE speak in this sort of disparaging tone, disrespecting all of us, and yet we pay him with taxpayers' money?
Well, Joyce, I'm grateful that you joined us. That's Joyce Bar-Mukhtari, spokesperson for John Mahama. LA had David Price, a former government and public relations manager at the VRE, Water River Authority, responsible for the Balogun multi-purpose dam. I want to hear your thoughts on this particular subject, though, and I want to stay on the campaign trail a while longer, because as you know, both John Mahama has been campaigning, but also the Vice President, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, has also been on the campaign trail, and he's promising to allocate 3% of Ghana's GDP to the private sector for the construction of roads and other infrastructure if he is elected president.
What is clear to me, historically, governments have tried to do too much in the area of roads and commit a lot which really stretches the budget. That seems to be what is going on. And so my view is that you need to shift the burden from government to the private sector. And this is why I have committed a candidate for the president that when I do my next budget, I'm reducing government expenditure by 3% of GDP in favor of the private sector. That is, we want to realign expenditure from the public sector to the private sector. 3% of GDP is not small.
And that day, the Vice President speaking at a function today where he has been meeting the private sector, specifically the Ghana Highway Authority. And he also talks about government preparations to reintroduce road tolls. And Dr. Bawumia talks about what he says is something that he has identified, some discrepancies in the current structure of road tolls collection. He's worried many rich people are not paying the tolls.
We should be thinking about methods and that we could make the tolling more broad-based, and then we all contribute to it, and then the revenue will be much higher. So if you can find a way to do this digitally or whatever, we can do it. I mean, but the whole thinking for me is there's an inequity in tolling, that, you know, some people don't have to bother, but those are the neighborhoods with the best roads, but they don't contribute, right? So you collect from the poorer areas and do the roads in the richer areas. So anyway, as I said, it's a little provocative, so you can think about it as you discuss, but I believe in broad-based tolling.
Well, meanwhile, Finance Minister Mohammed Amin Adam has announced that as part of efforts to bridge the financing gap in the road sector, government will have managers of pension funds invest in infrastructural projects with stable returns.
The time has come for us to do things differently. And we at the Ministry of Finance will work to ensure investors can be sufficiently supported to deliver a pipeline of bankable projects without cumbersome processes. We also want to look internally to leverage more predictable funding sources, such as pension funds. I can gather, ladies and gentlemen, that pension assets under management reached almost 50 billion Ghana cedis last year. Therefore, we want to work with the regulator and the pension funds to ensure we structure a regime that allows our pension funds to co-invest in commercially attractive infrastructure projects that deliver stable returns on it.
Now, he also announced at this town hall that we've been talking about in the last 24 hours that government has, in the first quarter of this year alone, spent some 10 billion Ghana cedis on road infrastructure alone.
78,000 kilometers to about 100,000 kilometers in road network that we've increased. Asphalt overlay. We have done, in terms of asphalt overlay, 2,000 kilometers. In terms of rehabilitation and maintenance, we've done 11,674 kilometers, in spite of the little resources that we have. And this year alone, from January to June, this government has already spent 10 billion Ghana cedis on roads alone. Road sector, January to June, 10 billion Ghana cedis. And we are going to spend more on road before the end of the year. The people of Accra, I want to inform you that we are almost done with commencement certificates for the Minister for Roads to commence the rehabilitation of Accra roads. Accra, inside Accra, the roads will be done.
I want to bring in right now Gideon Bwako. Dr. Gideon Bwako is a spokesperson for Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. Also joining us is Emmanuel Cherry, is the CEO of Ghana Chamber of Construction Industry. Grateful, gentlemen, for your time here on Newsnight. And Gideon, to some specifics on the 3% that the Vice President just announced that he will cut that from government expenditure and save that rather for the private sector as far as infrastructure development, road infrastructure development is concerned. Specifically, which areas will he be cutting?
Well, I think, Evans, we all agree that across the length and breadth of Ghana, one key problem that a lot of people are looking up to government to address is road infrastructure. It doesn't matter how far a government goes with road construction, you will still have quite a good number of people expressing concerns about poor roads. So prioritizing road infrastructure in the country is something that I think is dear to the hearts of people. If you currently look at the backlog of roads that ought to be done for us to get to the optimal levels where people will see or have proper appreciation of our roads. It gets to about 94,000 kilometers. Currently, the funding gap is about $12 billion. So it's not something that we can continue to put on government budget and still have that optimal level of road construction. So what Vice President Bawumia has announced and is seeking to do is to cede that part of road construction responsibility and to the private sector. It is not just roads. The 3% of GDP he's talking about does not relate to only roads. It relates to things like education infrastructure. There is a need for a lot of infrastructure in our schools, especially today if you look at the kindergarten level and the basic education level, as well as the tertiary level. You go to the universities, there are not enough hostels to accommodate the students who are there. And if government wants to fund this from government budget, it will take us several years to be able to do that. So Vice President Bawumia thinks that it is about time that we allow the private sector to come in to build some of these infrastructure, lease them to government, and allow government that budgetary breathing space to finance or pay
I'm interested in the approach he's adopting, and you've just repeated the point about, yes, there's an acceptance that the money isn't there. His approach is, I'm going to save up to 3% of GDP from regular government expenditure, and then I will channel that into infrastructure. What is he cutting?
Come again?
What is he cutting to save that 3% of GDP from government expenditure? That's how he put it.
He's not going to cut anything. It doesn't require the cutting of anything. It requires a refocusing, okay? It rather helps government to have more money into its coffers to do other things. So if government has a budgetary allocation of 10 billion cedis and is supposed to use 3 billion to construct roads or build education infrastructure, government is not going to cut anything. Government is going to say that there's 3 billion cedis that I'm supposed to use for roads and education infrastructure, I'm keeping that money to do other things, but I want the private sector to bring their money to have a bulk pack to finance this. And then they give government time, so many years, to pay in installment over a period of time. So this kind of refocusing that he's talking about does not require government to cut anything. I agree with you that usually when you say you want to reduce expenditure in some areas, then it means you're cutting others. No, this time around, it's not cutting anything. It rather helps you to have the full amount, but refocus it to do something else once you bring the private sector to help you to do what you don't have funds to do. So it doesn't require the cutting of anything.
Stay with me. I want to bring in Emmanuel Cherry, as the CEO of the Ghana Chamber of Construction Industry. What's your reaction to this?
Anyway, let me first of all thank the candidate for such a proposal being tabled before us for discussion. However, you know, you and I are in this country. We live in this country for some time now. The person behind this proposal is no new person to us. He is the vice president of the land as we speak. He's been in that office for over 7 years as we speak. If all these ideas are there, what stop him of not proposing such ideas to his master to be implemented for this while? As we speak, we, the private sector players, we've been able to assist government in this period of time by going into the financial market to raise the requisite funding to support government in infrastructure development. Today, the government of the day is touting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Touting its achievement in the infrastructure space as second to none. What are the rationales behind it? What are the game changers? The game changers happens to be with the private sector partnership. We've tried as much as possible to support government in its infrastructure development. But what has the government been able to do? It's rather collapsing us and then us losing our capacities in terms of our requisite manpower resources as well as equipment and finances. All the money that we are pumped into the infrastructure development today as we speak, getting it back is becoming difficult. We are expecting him to at least come out and tell us that this is a formula I have to use to pay contractors who we have owed for this while, and then this is the approach that we are going to use to add on of the infrastructure space that has been left unattended.
But
to.
he's proposing a different approach to sustainably raising funds for your sector, which is reducing government expenditure to
he's
save 3%.
He's been in this office for seven and a half years thereabout. Is it now that he's coming out of this? We approach him severally. We wrote to him. He referred us to the Minister for Finance till date. Let's ask him whether he's been able to follow up that debt. The request that he has placed before the Finance Minister has been achieved. As of now, ask Dr. Gideon Bako there that the letter they wrote to Finance Minister till date, have they follow up as we speak? Government is owing contractors, as indebted to contractors heavily as we speak. Now, which, how do you call it, modalities government is putting in place to pay the contractors that debt that is being owed as we speak before coming up with another formula of adding on.
Jerry, stay with me. Let me bring in Gideon. Gideon, fair questions that are being asked by the Chamber of Construction.
Hello? Yeah, I think it will help all of us if the person on the other side, I don't know him personally. If
is
I know
Ghana Chamber of Construction
name,
Industry, as CEO?
If he's able to take emotions out and approach the issues more intelligently to the way that we all want it to be. Vice President or this government, like any other government, cannot do everything at a time. This government will go down in history as a government that has spent the highest amount of money in paying contractors in our history since 1992. This government of President Akufo-Addo goes down in history as the government that has constructed the largest or longest kilometers of road in our history since 1992. With all this sterling performance in the road sector, there is still a lot to be done. President Akufo-Addo's government has an eight-year mandate to suggest that this government has been in power for 7 years. And therefore did not implement what Vice President Bawumia is asking for or calling for today, and does not have the right to say so. It's suggesting that as of today, all our ideas in the world must cease, and nobody has a right to have a vision tomorrow.
He's making a fundamental point about you owe road contractors. They haven't been paid yet, and then you are proposing, when you're the vice president and the chairman of the management team, an approach that you believe will be sustainable in the future. His point is, why don't you settle them now with that approach?
The approach that was adopted by President Akufo-Addo's government for the 7 years getting to the 8 years is the approach that has delivered the longest kilometers of roads ever constructed by any government in the history of this country. It is the approach for the past 7 years that has produced a government or a performance that surpasses any other performance since 1992. So you cannot say that approach is wrong. What Bawumia is saying is that they say it is only the fool that does not dream. So he also has a new thinking. And he thinks that whatever approach President Akufo-Addo adopted that has produced this sterling performer that surpasses all other records, he thinks that we can do more.
Okay.
For going forward, this is the new direction I want to adopt.
Yeah. Gideon, thank you very much. Let me quickly hear from Cherry. That's his response on the subject and the questions you raised.
That is what he's calling for.
You see, one thing that we need to take very critically is that, first of all, we are talking of the low-hanging fruit. We have worked, and then you are indebted to us. We are asking, we are calling for measures to clear those outstanding. However, you have come with a different proposal, that this is the approach you are going to adopt. You are tapping into the private sector, which is coming back to us again. Now,
please,
we are asking
you,
the modalities. Number two, now, if you are telling us that you are going to at least set aside 3% of GDP in doing this, which sectors are going to, how are those particular money going to at least, what are the gestation periods and what have, all of these things must come to the table for discussion. We shouldn't just throw it out there to the public domain in the banker's statement. No.
Okay.
We must interrogate the issues one after the other. As we speak now, most of our businesses are collapsing. So if you should collapse as finished before coming telling us that you are coming to partners, by the time you come, our capacities might be diminished.
Thank you, Emmanuel Cherry, CEO of the Ghana Chamber of Construction Industry. Thank you, Dr. Gideon Obuakwo. That's all time will allow us on this. I want to hear your thoughts on the subjects that we've treated so far. Of course, there's a political season. Promises are being made. We promise to interrogate them as much as we can. Once we're done with business, we'll bring you climate focus and we'll also take you to Agbogbloshie. What really has happened to that piece of land that was cleared to make way for fresh government infrastructure? We have details for you after George is done with business. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans. And coming up in business, Chamber of Commerce describes sanction of more than 200 businesses by Bank of Ghana for issuance of debt checks as a major confidence boost for that medium of payment. And Talo Oil's half-year revenue dips marginally, but profits should step significantly to hit $196 million. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Cintas Tanks, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom, and my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com. You
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Oma.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Oma.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Kweku, have you heard what they are doing on MTN?
Yes. We have a new leader in town, Obiaren
ntie amanfo meda mo se bebre wonim se mabey mebe mam more charcoal for whiter teeth
more charcoal
not only that mebe mam lemon
more lemon
zinc for fresher breath
more zinc
and fluoride for stronger teeth
introducing the new President charcoal pack with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth grab yours now this advert is FDA approved
the luckiest
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Coma and Nanfufu, a dialing *712# and found no regrets. A side coma investors are a striking goal. A coma health workers are a diagnosis of luck with precision. A side coma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a coma passionate fanner or also entering containing a joy. A fake to the seamstress or turning a hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a coma, if you say your next big win is right here.
*712# and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial *712# to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the Ghana National Chamber of Commerce and Industry has described the sanction of more than 200 businesses for issuance of DAT checks as a major confidence boost for that mode or medium of payment. 245 businesses and 47 individuals will, from the next 3 years, not be able to seek fresh credit from the banking system, as well as issue checks. Now, President of the Ghana National Chamber of Commerce, Clement Osemwaku, says the Bank of Ghana has actually taken a long time in dealing with these businesses and individuals.
I'm very glad Bank of Ghana is doing it. It affects us as businessmen. We must be honest to ourselves. Trust alone builds businesses. If you have trust with your partner, you can earn a lot of things. For me, if you are expecting some process of checks and they are not ready, and you see that there will be a delay, go back and renegotiate your checks, even if you have done that. But you see that allow the person's time and even other transactions that he has done, go through the system only to see that the check has not been paid. And I think that it's a good thing for Bank of Ghana to initiate, and it must continue. But here, the central bank, not the central bank, the government must also be proactive. Sometimes they also give contracts to contractors, hoping that they will pay them a specific period of time, and they end up not paying them. It also destroys the chain of payment. And so, as we are blaming the businessmen and the private sector, as well as the individual, government must also sit up into the future to make sure that contracts that are given are paid at the right time, in order not to find themselves into such situations.
President of the Ghana National Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Clement Osemwaku. Now, government is insisting that it has instituted measures that is helping to revive the economy and put it on a strong footing. The Deputy Minister of Finance, Dr. Alison Pabing, has been speaking on Upfront on Journeys, and he has also been justifying the apology rendered by the Minister of Finance. He's also insisting that the current data on the economy shows that it is recovering.
Look at our growth. Look at our exchange rate, look at our inflation figure. In the period, 2017, 18, 19, 20, before 20, every single economic indicator was pointing to the fact that there was a sound economic management at the time. I'm sure you believe that.
Oh yes, as was predicted by the IMF in 2016, for example.
So everything was on track. Mm-hmm. Now, the impact of the COVID-19, even for growth, in 2020, Ghana recorded 0.5%, as against the 7% we were experiencing every year until 2020. In 2020, Kenya, Tanzania, and most of our peers recorded a negative growth.
8.1,
okay.
6.5, and 6.1.
So I said average of 7. Oh, yes. So if I say average, I'm right. Mm-hmm. Now, Ghana, when we were recording all this, it wasn't by magic. It was by sound economic management that made it happen.
And that is the Deputy Minister of Finance, Dr. Alex Mpabin, speaking on Upfront on Joy News, hosted by Raymond Akwa, which is currently showing on the Joy News channel. The government has also expressed its readiness to explore other funding options, including partnering with private sector players in funding and construction of road and other infrastructure projects, beginning with the Accra Temamu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To be in next year, speaking on the high-level expert panel discussion to mark the 50th anniversary of the Ghana Highways Authority, Minister of Finance Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam noted that it has become imperative to consider innovative ways to bridge the funding gap.
We're unable to do everything at a go. And this is why we think that private sector participation can no longer delay. We must do everything to get the private sector into road construction. And this, we are setting the stage with the Tema Motorway Flagship Road Project through a PPP arrangement, which I believe will be the first PPP arrangement for road construction.
Minister of Finance, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam. Now, Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison is insisting that reviewing the cash reserve ratio for commercial banks has helped check excess liquidity in the system. The central bank earlier this year increased the amount of money the commercial banks can hold at the Bank of Ghana when it comes to their total deposits. The development affected commercial banks' ability to lend to businesses. But the governor of the Bank of Ghana says earlier concerns created by this policy has been addressed.
The intention for that particular measure was to withdraw as much CD liquidity as possible from the economy. And the data that we have suggests that we have been able to do that. We also know that the credit to the private sector, from what I just read, is beginning to pick up, right? Remember, this economy is emerging from crisis. Non-performing loans are higher. The risk associated with lending are higher. So
Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison. Now, oil exploration firm Talu Oil ended the first 6 months of this year with revenue picking up marginally. However, profits after tax saw some significant jump to reach $196 million ending June this year. There is more in this report.
Revenue ending June 2023 stood at $777 million. However, that amount in 2024 dropped to $759 million. But when it comes to the profit after tax, it went up by $73 million in the first 6 months of the last year to reach $196 million. Capital expenditure for half year also stood at $157 million, representing some significant increase over what it spent in the same period for last year. The oil exploration firm also paid $368 million in taxes on its operations, representing a significant jump compared to the $217 million it paid last year. The group chief executive of Talo described the first half of year as an exciting one based on the strong growth recorded in most areas of operations. He also added that all the key financial metrics improved significantly compared to the first half of 2023. This success was fueled by higher production and oil prices compared with lower expenditure in the first 6 months of this year.
And that is the Business Desk report on the profit after tax of Talu, which reached $196 million ending June this year. Yep. And that's all for Business Owner News. Knight, back to you, Evans.
And Grant is here with sports.
Yeah, let's go straight into the stories. And Team Ghana will be in action in tomorrow's 4x100 men's relay semi-final in what will be the country's final quest for a medal at the Paris Olympics. Ghana has been drawn alongside Jamaica, Canada, Brazil, and host France in heat 2. Joy Sports editor Fentu Tahiru is in France and has the latest on the team.
I have picked up information that Saminu will most likely be the one to start Team Ghana off. Remember that he is the newest member of his team who has run and made the semi-finals of the individual 100 meters. Will be the one to start off the team, and he would hand over to Botsio, and Azamati would maintain his role on the bench, and then Paul Amoah, of course, would be the one to run the anchor leg. So from all indications, it looks like Team Ghana is very much firmly ready for this.
You had Joy Sports editor Fintu Tahu speaking there, bringing an end to sports. Back to you, Evans.
Thank you very much. Now, to our Climate Focus series now, brought to you in partnership with Youth Breed Foundation and the Climate Development Knowledge Network. Women in Tolon, Kumbungu, Savalugu and Nanton, all of the northern region, are receiving assistance to develop small-scale irrigation systems, enabling them grow vegetables all year round. The project is employing multiple approaches to support smallholder farmers in cultivating vegetables, utilizing community-owned perennial dams and underground water resources. Now, this initiative not only enhances their income, but also enables them adapt to shifting weather patterns. Mohammed Nuruddin has more in a Climate Focus series.
Women tending to their vegetable garden, a daily routine that ensures their crops receive the necessary water to thrive. The water flowing from the dam supplies the garden where the women collect it from this point to nourish their vegetables. Fati Ibrahim is one of the beneficiaries.
As soon as dawn breaks, we all hurry to the farm. If we are fortunate, vegetable buyers will show up. And if we have crops like ayoyo, bra, or beans ready, we can harvest and sell them on the spot. This is a privilege we get to enjoy. A community was once stagnant with little to no productivity. Then Go Adapt arrived and sparked a transformation.
These rural women used to rely on rainfall to plant their crops, but now they have a more reliable solution.
In the past, during this time of the season, we felt lost and uncertain about what to do. But now, we have grown accustomed to acquiring essential food items and even setting aside some savings from the sales we generate.
Coordinator for the project, Ibrahim Nuruddin, says the project aims to take women out of poverty.
It helps them to generate income to support their families. It helps them improve their livelihood and also do a lot of things from this.
Project prioritizes inclusive climate adaptation planning, empowering the smallholder farmers to build resilience and adapt to the challenges of changing weather patterns. The beneficiaries of the project comprised 1,440 households, totaling 1,640 households. A report by Mohammed Nuruddin.
Climate Focus is brought to you in partnership with Youth Breed Foundation and Climate Development Knowledge Network. Of course, of aggrieved staff of the produce buying company today stormed the head office in Accra, demanding payment of their 12 to 14 month salary arrears. Now, the workers say many of them have now been compelled to ask for alms and borrow to survive. They want the government to sack the current management and probe the activities.
It is just because for the past 14 months, some 12 months, some 14 months, we haven't received salaries. Our wives are on us. Our landlords are ejecting us from our various homes. Our colleagues are dying. My colleagues here, Chobo! They haven't eaten for the solid 12 months. It's my very much concern. And this is what we are calling upon the government to just look at it first and foremost before we can even talk about anything. What did he have? One more, brother. We have other issues. The issue has to do with the technical incompetence of management. And we are calling upon the government that henceforth from today and even up to the end of this month, he should call off this management. We can't work with them. From where we were having a market share of 30.8%, and now we are completely flat with 0%. Another issue has to do with how management has intimidated the staffs. So that intimidation has overcrowded the staff. We haven't received both PF1, PF2. In addition to unpaid salary for the past 14 months and others 12 months.
Well, angry workers there of the PBC today protesting here in Accra. And by the way, if you are in the United Kingdom and you're a Ghanaian, there is an advisory for you from the Ghana High Commission there, and they're advising that if you find yourself somewhere in town, you better head back home once it's 7 p.m. because it will be safer for you indoors than outdoors. And they're advising that Ghanaians living in the UK should stay indoors after 7 p.m. And joining me right now is a woman who spent quite some time in the United Kingdom, and I'm pretty
well,
sure...
Well, is there slangs for me?
I'm following very close. I'm speaking the Queen's. You know what I mean.
Doesn't sound like it, but all right. He's... Yeah, I have been following.
Thing, you know the thing about when you've been in the UK and you hear these things, you're wondering, goodness me, I mean, you could have been caught up in what is happening. We've had harrowing stories about how people's homes were being broken into.
It's scary. It's really scary and almost unimaginable. I don't think that in all the years that I was, you know, going and coming, I ever experienced anything close to that. You know, always really felt like a safe space. You know how, like, the random houses don't have gates? You know, like, the houses are just lined up on the street and, you know, like, this is your front door, you know? And it's like, there's nothing, you know? So to feel unsafe and that, you know, my heart goes out to everyone who's going through it. Hopefully it will be resolved soon. And life can go back to some sort of normalcy.
What are you talking about tonight on Strong and Sassy?
So, Evans, tonight I'm asking the question, must we share a faith for our love to thrive?
That's a simple
question. Is it, though? What's it for you, a yes or a no?
No, absolutely not.